So you're looking to really optimize your training, right? Try to get the most bang for your buck when you hit the gym. Well, I'm sure you've come across the topic of pro-hormones at some point in your research.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a hot topic.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where you really have to know what you're getting into, right?
Exactly. And that's what we're diving into today.
Wow.
We're going to be taking a deep dive into what the sources say about training when considering or using pro-hormones.
Not about endorsing anything, but just understanding what's out there, you know?
Right, just laying it all out.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of FAQs and some general info that touch on training, nutrition, and recovery in relation to pro-hormone use.
And the goal is to break it down into the most important points, so everyone listening has a solid understanding of what the sources actually suggest.
Basically, we want to equip you with the knowledge to make informed decisions without getting lost in the weeds.
Exactly. Actionable insights and key considerations, all pulled straight from the source material.
So before we get into the nitty-gritty, let's start with the basics. What exactly are pro-hormones, according to the information we have?
Okay, so from what I've gathered, the sources describe pro-hormones as precursors to active hormones. And we're usually talking about anabolic hormones like testosterone.
Interesting. So they're not hormones themselves, but they can become hormones in the body.
Right. Think of them like compounds that your body has the potential to convert into those stronger, more active hormones.
Got it. And the sources indicate that the main reason people use them is to try to pack on muscle and strength faster, right?
Yeah, that seems to be the general idea. Plus, enhancing overall athletic performance, basically trying to create a more powerful anabolic environment in the body.
Like giving your body a boost to build muscle and recover faster after those intense workouts.
Right, because in theory, more of those hormones could lead to more muscle protein synthesis and quicker recovery, which could mean faster progress toward your fitness goals.
It sounds almost too good to be true, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be a catch.
Well, you're right to be skeptical because the sources are very clear about the potential risks and legal considerations involved. The FAQ especially emphasizes that there are significant potential downsides, from side effects to legal issues, depending on where you are.
Okay, so this is definitely not something to jump into without doing your research and proceeding with caution.
Couldn't agree more. It's crucial to understand those risks from the get-go. But let's shift gears for a second and talk about the training itself. Let's say someone's using pro-hormones with the goal of building muscle and strength. What kind of training approach does the FAQ seem to recommend as being the most effective?
Well, one thing that jumps out is the focus on hypertrophy-focused resistance training. It seems like the logic is that if pro-hormones might boost your body's capacity for growth and recovery, it makes sense to train in a way that specifically targets muscle growth.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, why would you train for endurance if you're trying to maximize muscle growth? You got to match your training style to your goals.
For sure. So, for those who might not know, what exactly does a hypertrophy program involve?
All right. So, according to the sources, a typical hypertrophy program is all about moderate to high volume. We're talking multiple sets of different exercises for each muscle group you're working.
So, you're really hitting each muscle group with a good amount of work.
Yeah. The idea is to stimulate those muscles as much as possible. The FAQ also mentions moderate rep ranges, generally falling somewhere between 6 and 12 reps per set. And of course, one of the most important principles for building muscle is progressive overload.
Progressive overload, that's just a fancy way of saying you need to constantly challenge your muscles by increasing the weight, reps, or sets over time, right?
You got it. You got to keep pushing those boundaries to keep those muscles growing. Now, something else that's interesting is that the FAQ specifically mentions the importance of compound exercises.
Ah, you mean the big movements that work multiple muscle groups at once, like squats, deadlifts, bench presses, overhead presses, that sort of thing.
Yeah, those are the ones. Why do you think they single those out in the context of pro-hormones?
Well, if we think about it from the perspective of trying to maximize the effects of those pro-hormones, those compound lifts work so many muscles at once that it just makes sense. They create a bigger stimulus for overall growth, right?
Exactly. They trigger a more significant anabolic response compared to isolation exercises that just target one muscle at a time.
So you're essentially getting more bang for your buck in terms of muscle activation and potential growth. That makes a lot of sense. Now, let's say someone is training this way and maybe considering pro-hormones. How might that affect how often and how intensely they train? Do the sources address that at all?
They do. They talk about both training frequency and training intensity and how they might need to be adjusted. One of the things that comes up is the idea that pro-hormones could enhance recovery, which could mean you can train a bit more frequently.
So maybe hit each muscle group a little more often than you normally would?
Potentially, yes. However, and this is a big however, straight from the FAQ, it's super important to avoid overtraining. More isn't always better, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Just because you might recover faster doesn't mean you should be training every day.
Exactly. You still need to listen to your body, pay close attention to signs of fatigue, and adjust your training if you need to. Now, in terms of intensity, the sources seem to recommend keeping it relatively high, especially if you're aiming for that progressive overload we talked about.
So when we're talking about intensity here, we're mainly referring to the amount of weight you're lifting relative to your max,
right?
Not necessarily how hard the workout feels.
You got it. And it's important to distinguish intensity from volume. Volume is the total amount of work you do, sets and reps, while intensity is more about the weight you're moving. The takeaway here is that for hypertrophy, the best approach seems to be striking a balance between moderate to high intensity and sufficient volume. You need both to really maximize muscle growth.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, everyone knows that you can't out-train a bad diet. What do our sources say about nutrition? Particularly when someone's using pro-hormones, I imagine it's even more important in that context.
You're absolutely right. The FAQ is super clear about that, actually. It literally says that nutrition is absolutely critical to get the most out of a pro-hormone cycle and your training program.
Wow, so it's not just important, it's absolutely critical.
Yeah, they really emphasize it. It's like, imagine pro-hormones as a way to supercharge your engine. But without the right fuel, that extra power is either going to sputter and stall or could even cause some damage.
That's a great analogy. So what kind of fuel are we talking about here? What are the key nutrition components to focus on?
Well, according to the sources, a few things stand out. First, you need to be in a caloric surplus. This means you're eating more calories than you're burning throughout the day. You need that extra energy and those extra building blocks to create new muscle tissue.
It makes sense that your body needs extra resources to build all that muscle.
Right, and then there's protein. The FAQ recommends getting around 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. It sounds like a lot, but that's what they're suggesting.
That's a serious amount of protein to be eating consistently.
It is, but it's essential because protein provides the amino acids that your muscles need for repair and growth. You're basically feeding those muscles the building blocks they need to get bigger and stronger.
Got it. So lots of calories and lots of protein. What else?
Carbs are also crucial. They're your primary fuel source for those intense workouts, and they help replenish your glycogen stores, which is the energy that your muscles use.
Yeah, carbs often get a bad rap, but you can't train hard without them.
That's right. And we can't forget about healthy fats.
Oh, yeah, those are important, too.
Yeah.
They play a role in hormone production and just overall health.
Exactly. The FAQ even mentions something called nutrient timing, which is basically the idea of strategically eating certain nutrients around your workouts to maximize recovery and growth. It's like getting the right nutrients to your muscles at the right time.
So it's not just what you eat, but also when you eat it.
Right. But the main message here is that you can have the best training program in the world and be taking pro-hormones, but if your diet isn't dialed in, you're not going to see the results you're hoping for. You could even be doing more harm than good.
So true. All right, let's move on to recovery. Even if pro-hormones can enhance recovery, I'm guessing that taking care of your body is still paramount, right?
Absolutely. You're right on the money there. Pro-hormones might give you an edge, but they don't replace the fundamentals of recovery.
Okay, so what are those fundamentals?
Well, first and foremost, getting enough sleep is non-negotiable. The sources recommend 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep each night. This is when your body repairs muscle tissue and regulates those hormones.
Yeah, I know. I definitely feel it the next day if I don't get enough sleep. It affects everything.
Totally. And they also talk about active recovery. Things like light cardio or mobility work can help improve blood flow and reduce muscle soreness.
So it's not just about lying on the couch all day after a hard workout.
Not necessarily. Getting your body moving can actually help you recover faster. And of course, staying hydrated is super important. Water plays a key role in pretty much every bodily function, including muscle recovery.
We all know we should drink more water.
Right. But it's easy to forget. And the last thing they mention, which might surprise some people, is managing stress. Techniques like meditation or yoga can actually have a positive impact on recovery.
That's interesting. I guess if you're stressed out all the time, it's harder for your body to recover.
Exactly. Stress throws off your hormone balance and can really hinder your progress. So basically, if you want to recover properly, you got to prioritize sleep, do some active recovery, drink plenty of water, and find ways to manage your stress.
It's all connected. All right, let's get a bit more specific about the training itself. Are there any particular exercises or training techniques that people should be mindful of if they're using pro-hormones?
Yeah, actually, the FAQ touches on a few important considerations. One thing they point out is that the potential for increased strength from pro-hormones might make people want to lift super heavy.
Which is tempting, but maybe not the smartest move, right?
Right. It's important to remember that progressive overload is a long-term game. You need to prioritize proper form, even if it means starting with lighter weights.
That's smart. What's that saying? Lift like a pro so you don't have to rehab like a pro?
Something like that. An injury can set you back weeks or even months.
Exactly. So start light and gradually increase the weight over time, focusing on technique the entire time.
That's the key. And sticking with those compound exercises is another smart move. They allow you to lift heavier weights safely because they distribute the load across multiple joints and muscle groups. Plus, they stimulate more muscle fibers overall.
And the FAQ warns against doing exercises that put too much stress on your joints.
Yeah. And they mention that specifically. Like, anything that could put your joints or connective tissues at risk. It's all about finding that balance between pushing your limits and staying injury-free. And of course, warming up before each workout and cooling down afterwards is essential.
Those are must-dos no matter what.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the main takeaways here are, don't let your ego get in the way of proper form. Stick with those tried and true exercises and listen to your body. What about cardio? Does that have a place in a pro-hormone-focused training program?
It's a good question. While the main focus is going to be on resistance training, moderate intensity cardio can still be beneficial.
So you're not saying to avoid cardio altogether?
No, not at all. It's good for overall cardiovascular health, endurance, and nutrient delivery.
Keeps your heart healthy and helps deliver those nutrients to your muscles.
Exactly. But you want to be careful not to overdo it. Too much high-intensity cardio could actually interfere with your recovery and muscle growth. It could even lead to your body burning muscle for fuel, which is definitely not what we want.
Makes sense. So you're saying a couple of moderate-intensity cardio sessions per week is probably sufficient.
Yeah, something like that. The idea is to find that sweet spot where you're getting the benefits of cardio without sabotaging your muscle building goals.
It's all about balance, as with everything else. Okay, we've touched on the risks of pro-hormones a few times, but let's really dive into them. What specific risks and side effects do our sources highlight?
All right, so here's the thing. The potential side effects of pro-hormones are not to be taken lightly. One of the biggest concerns mentioned in the FAQ is liver toxicity.
Wow. Liver toxicity. That sounds serious.
Yeah, it is. Pro-hormones can put a strain on the liver, especially if they're not used responsibly. And then there are potential cardiovascular issues to consider, like changes in cholesterol levels and blood pressure.
That's a whole other set of problems right there.
Right. And we can't forget about hormonal imbalances. Pro-hormones can mess with your body's natural hormone production. The FAQ mentions things like gynecomastia, which is the development of breast tissue in men, and suppression of natural testosterone production.
So not only could you experience negative side effects, but you could also end up with lower testosterone in the long run. That seems counterproductive.
Yeah, it really can be. And to make matters worse, there's also the possibility of acne and hair loss.
It's like a laundry list of potential problems. And these aren't just minor inconveniences. They can really affect your health and your ability to train consistently.
You're absolutely right. If you're experiencing fatigue, joint pain, or just general discomfort because of these side effects, you're probably going to have to adjust your training. You might need to lower the intensity, reduce the volume, or take more rest days. The FAQ and all of the information we've looked at really drive home the point that you have to be aware of these risks. They strongly recommend consulting with a healthcare professional before even thinking about using pro-hormones.
That's really important advice. Don't just jump into this blindly. Talk to your doctor first. Now, for those listening who are finding this information about training and pro-hormones helpful and are maybe looking for more resources or want to explore different options, you can check out publichealthlaw.best.
Yeah, you can find more in-depth info on various topics related to fitness and performance.
They've got bulking stacks, cutting stacks, strength stacks, all kinds of stuff to help you maximize your results. So head over to publichealthlaw.best to learn more.
Okay, let's quickly recap the main takeaways here in case anyone missed anything. If you're thinking about incorporating pro-hormones into your training, the research suggests focusing on hypertrophy-style training. Think moderate to high volume, moderate rep ranges, and consistently push yourself with progressive overload.
And don't forget those compound exercises, squats, deadlifts, bench press, all those big movements that work multiple muscle groups, they're key for overall growth.
Absolutely. And even if you're using something that might boost recovery, remember to listen to your body, prioritize sleep, do some active recovery, stay hydrated, and manage your stress levels. All of those things play a huge role in your ability to recover and make progress.
And on the nutrition side, make sure you're eating enough calories to support muscle growth, getting tons of protein, adequate carbs and healthy fats, and maybe even experiment with nutrient timing.
Yeah, your diet is just as important as your training, if not more so. It's the fuel that drives your progress.
Couldn't agree more. And when it comes to exercise selection, focus on proper form over lifting super heavy. Don't sacrifice technique for ego. Stick with the basics, the exercises that have stood the test of time, and be smart about cardio. A couple of sessions per week is great for overall health, but don't overdo it, or you might sabotage your muscle building efforts.
Right. And finally, and this is probably the most important point, don't take the potential risks of pro-hormones lightly. We talked about liver toxicity, cardiovascular issues, hormonal imbalances, and other side effects. It's just not worth messing with your health. So consult with a healthcare professional before you even consider going down that road.
100%. So given all that, all this information about training, nutrition, recovery, and the risks involved, it really comes down to a personal decision. What does a truly informed and responsible approach to fitness look like for you? That's something to really think about.
Absolutely. And if you're looking for more information or resources, be sure to check out publichealthlaw.best.
That's publichealthlaw.best. We've got a ton of resources over there to help you on your fitness journey.
Definitely check it out.
And before we wrap up, I just want to say, for the record, the content of our podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, always do your research and consult with a professional.
Stay safe and stay healthy out there, everyone.
Catch you next time.